It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We've heard so much about solar power since the 1970s. So why isn't it being utilized more in the United States? Germany, a country half the size of Texas, harnesses the sun's energy for many of its residential homes. Joylette Portlock, president of Communitopia and creator of the Don't Just Sit There, Do Something About Climate Change web series, joins us in Studio A to talk about solar power. Joylette, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Pittsburgh filmmaker Mark Dixon, who is going to tell us about solar roadways, roads made with solar panels. He's been documenting solar roadways. Mark, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Joylette Portlock, on June 2nd, President Obama, through the Environmental Protection Agency, proposed a rule to cut U.S. carbon pollution from existing power plants 30% by 2030. Can this be done without making greater use of solar power?
I don't know that that would be something we would necessarily want to do. I don't know there are too many reasons why we wouldn't want to build out our renewable energy sector, you know, as has been going on. We've been seeing an increasing amount of renewable generating capacity installed, and I think that that should continue to be part of the picture overall.
How much of our current energy supply comes from solar power?
Right now from solar, we are just shy of 1%.
That's it.
Yes.
1%.
Which sounds pretty pitiful, let's be honest. However.
Well, I mentioned we've been talking about this since the 70s. So, you know, and wasn't it Jimmy Carter was president and he put the solar panel, solar panels on the White House?
That's right. And then they were taken down.
That might be the 1%, right?
Right. No, it's actually, we're just shy of 1%. Hopefully we might be able to break through the 1% mark this year. But really, if you look at the growth of solar power in this country, it's really done amazing things just in the last 10 years, now that we've had some better policies in place to encourage it. Looking at it, you know, from a different perspective, in 2009, we were just shy of 0.1% of solar power in our grid. So we've really seen a 10 times more solar just in the last, you know, 5-6 years than we had seen before.
So you're saying that's good.
I'm saying that's very good. Yeah. We're on the right. We have a good trend, but we don't necessarily have the built out capacity that we'd like to see.
Why aren't we farther along with solar power?
Well, that comes down to, as I just mentioned, really policy. You know, if you look at solar power, the idea of harnessing the sun's energy for power has been around since the Industrial Revolution started. It's been around for a long time. Just as a country, we've had the notion that fossil fuels were cheaper or more easily available, easier to exploit, and we really built out the infrastructure around those. And it's only when you get to periods of time, like we saw in the 70s with the oil crisis, where people, you know, change their focus and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be depending on other countries for our energy, or maybe, you know, we should find a fuel that's free.
Well, there were lines to get to the gas pumps in the 70s. And so we did hear about, okay, what can we do differently? And then as the lines stopped, it went away. And then the lines have not necessarily come back, but we're seeing the prices go up. And I don't know if you're paying attention to the price of a gallon of gas lately, but we may hit $4 a gallon in Pittsburgh very soon. So, again, it comes back to this question of why. Are you one of those people that believes the fossil energy companies are helping to hold back solar energy in order to keep the profit margins of oil and gas companies intact? Are you a conspiracy theorist that way?
I wouldn't call myself a conspiracy theorist. However, I would say that there are definite signs of progress that have been made in, as I said, the last 10 years. When you look at the policy situation for solar power, we've got an alternative energy portfolio standard in this state. We've got we've had some federally financed, favorable financing situation for investors. We have a federal tax credit for consumers wanting to install solar powers. We've really got, you know, a lot of good policies in place. We've got net metering, where people who are overproducing solar can sell it back to the grid. And every time that these things come up for renewal, you do see that opposition voice from the fossil industry trying to either roll back or weaken those policies.
So there is a pushback.
I would say there is a pushback, yes.
But what the movement that we're seeing in the direction of more people being interested in using solar energy comes from, is that part of the big push for solar after the 2008 election?
Partially, and certainly that was some of the most important policies for incentivizing solar in this country have come, you know, in the recent years with the incentives that were put forward by the Obama administration early on. But some of the policies, like the tax incentive for consumers, where it's a 30% tax credit for solar installations, have been around since 2005. They're set to expire in 2016, so we'll see where they go then. But so I would say that certainly recently we've seen massive levels of incentives in recent years.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Excuse me. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. I need my own solar power. We're talking about solar power. You can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. The email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, at esspgh, #EPLive. Would you make greater use of solar energy if it were more readily available to you? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Rocky in Mount Lebanon. Rocky, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. And I think, I don't know if you were told, I've had solar on my house since May of 2010, and I'm getting 40% of my power from solar for the house.
Wonderful.
That sounds pretty good. That's,
yes.
So are you paying less as a result of this?
Oh, God, yes, a lot less. Our bills have dropped tremendously. There are some times where my monthly bill is down as low as $25, $30. And now with air conditioning. And I also bought a Volt, so I am now charging my car with sunlight.
So Rocky, did you have an epiphany? What made you decide to finally turn to solar power?
It was interesting. I started with a rechargeable lawnmower, bought a Prius, and then I said, well, if you can have a hybrid car, why can't you have a hybrid house? So I'm basically wanted to be able to help, reduce the amount of energy I needed from fossil fuels. I have a good friend in Colorado who did it and challenged me to do it, and so it was just something I've always wanted to do. And until looking for somebody back then was difficult. Now I think there are a lot more people doing installations, and it was rather a simple thing to do.
So you put the car before the house.
Yes.
It just occurred to me. So, how costly were the panels? And when you balance that, the cost of installing the panels against what you've saved?
It's a six-year return on investment. When I bought, the panels are now actually, I think, a lot cheaper, according to the person who installed mine. But I was able to take advantage of the tax credit, and Pennsylvania had a program where they were paying you per kilowatt, per watt that you put in. And I got a rebate from that, and that was something I didn't even know about when I first started looking into it. It was just a bonus, and which enabled me to, it just put the icing on the cake as far as doing the solar. I was going to do it no matter what.
If I can interject, that sounds like the PA Sunshine program.
Yes. In fact, I just heard they're eliminating that altogether.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that program is gone, but I did want to put in a plug for a website. It's Desire USA, DSIREUSA.org, which is the database for state by state what the incentives are in your area for installing solar.
And the other thing I was able to take advantage of was the SRECs. Solar reusable energy credits, and I'm now selling mine. My son, who's a investment banker, talked me into locking into a five-year rate. So I'm getting $280 for every million watts I produce.
So this has become it's energy efficient, and it's as far as satisfying all of your needs for electricity. This is doing that for you.
Yes. I mean, if I could have put more panels on my roof, it would have been great, but that's all the room I had. But when they came, what they did, the installer came in and measured the amount of sunlight on our roof. We have a very good south-facing roof. We get 90-some percent coverage of sun on that roof. So basically all day I'm producing electricity. Even days like today, I'm close to running net metering right now with the sun that just came out.
And this is something that this is a great story. And this is also something that I did want to touch on, too, is that, you know, part of the obstacle to installing solar power is this cost question. And how do you afford it? And what do you need to do to figure out how to do the financing? But also just figuring out that information can be a challenge. The fact that you need to do a little bit of homework to get this done. So stories like this are great because they show how how possible it is. But there's also just simple questions like, yes, they do work even in the winter. You know, they work when it snows.
That is a question that comes up because in Pittsburgh, we do have our share of cloudy days. So what happens in the winter when we've got, you know, it seems like we go weeks without the sun showing itself around
here.
It's
not the clouds, it's the snow.
It's the snow.
When they get covered with snow, you're out.
And then what do you do?
Well, that's why we still have electricity. But we're still on the grid. And eventually I'd love to do some sort of storage system, but that was too expensive at this point.
Or you can sweep them off if your roof is accessible.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take a chance.
That's fair.
I want to live to enjoy my solar for a few more years. I mean, it melts quickly. I mean, we don't have that many days where it just hangs around up there.
Well, Rocky, it sounds like what you're doing has made you happy, and it's certainly interesting. And I think Joylette probably feels that this is that he's setting a good example.
Setting
for
a
others?
Wonderful example.
One other thing with the Volt, I've had it now. I've had 14,000 miles on it, two extended range trips, and I've put a total of 44.8 gallons of gas in it.
Well, Rocky, you're doing the green thing,
and
I'm with are nodding and smiling, and I wish you well in your alternative energy endeavors.
Right, and the next thing I do, I'll put a big windmill up.
that'll look lovely in Mount Lebanon. You might need to get a variance from your neighbors, but good for you. Thank you, Rocky. We appreciate
right,
it. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation, and we will get to talking about solar roadways with Mark Dixon. But there's some things I want to make sure we understand here. I don't want to assume that everybody gets how solar power works. So, Joylette, explain the basics of solar energy. How exactly is the sun's energy harnessed and turned into something that allows us to turn on the blender or the TV set or whatever we need to have on in our house?
Mm-hmm. Without getting too technical about it, the solar panels take the sunlight, take the radiation from the sun, and they convert it to DC current, and then the inverter in the panels channels it to AC, and then puts it into your house. So it has to be wired in, you know, through your electrical system and everything else, hooked up to the grid. But when you talk about solar power, there's actually a couple of different things that people can do that involve energy from the sun that aren't just solar panels. There's also passive solar heating design and lighting design. So if you have if you are designing your house or, you know, doing any renovations, you can, you know, make sure that your rooms are aligned so with the sun so that they are well lit and well heated without having to use extra energy. You can do the low tech version of that with curtains and landscaping, planting trees effectively. There's also solar hot water heating, which is extremely underrated, but but is a great way to cut your water heating bills as well. And you put the array on the roof to either channel water or channel a different fluid in very cold areas up through it to heat your water.
How many steps does solar power eliminate when it comes to turning, say, for example, some earthbound material into electricity?
Well, and it's that's something.
I mean,
actually,
basically,
that
what you've just described is we've got the sun,
and we
use this apparatus to channel it into the outlet.
Yeah.
So, whereas with I'm guessing there's a lot more to taking, say, something you're digging out of the ground. and turning that into electricity.
Yeah.
Go through those steps for us.
This is something that I touch on in our video, in our most recent video, Solar Powers, where we have a lot of fun with this concept. But it's basically the difference, yes, between taking sunlight and just converting that into electricity at your house, in the case of residential solar, versus, waiting millions of years for the energy to fossilize, as in the case of oil, coal, and natural gas, then finding it, then digging it up, then transporting it, refining it or compressing it or something, and then burning it, and then taking that energy that's generated and shipping that back to your outlet. So it's a huge, it really cuts out a lot of middle steps, and for that reason is much, much more efficient. Solar energy is plentiful. If we harness it, then that's a great way to get energy.
Yeah, right. It's clean. What do you call a solar spill?
A nice day.
A nice day, which we're having here on Essential Pittsburgh, and we have lots of folks who want to get in on our conversation. We do need to work in one more break, but we'll continue to talk about solar energy, and we would like to hear from you if you have solar panels now on your house. Talk about how that has impacted your electric bills and your energy use in your home. Are you considering it? Do you have questions? Our folks here can answer them for you. Certainly, Joylette Portlock, who is here, can do that. She is back with the program and is the creator of the Don't Just Sit There, Do Something About Climate Change web series. We'll also talk with Pittsburgh filmmaker Mark Dixon about solar roadways. What are they? It's all coming up on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We are talking about solar power. It was earlier this month, President Obama, through the Environmental Protection Agency, proposed a rule to cut U.S. carbon pollution from existing power plants by 30% by 2030. One of the ways that this can be done is through greater use of solar power. And we're talking about it with Joylette Portlock, who is president of Communitopia and creator of Don't Just Sit There, Do Something About Climate Change, the web series. Also with us in Studio A is Pittsburgh filmmaker Mark Dixon, who's going to tell us about solar roadways. We're taking your questions at 412-246-2002 and ESSPGH at WESA.FM on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. And there is a question from Kay in Castle Shannon. Are there roofers in the area that would install paneling?
Yeah. Absolutely. There are solar installers in the area. Good question. And one of the things that we try to do with our web series is always give people, links that would help them do some of this stuff. So one of the resources we linked people to is solar-estimate.org, where you can find out, what the cost might be for you based on your, address and your home and find a local installer.
And we are looking to have people join the conversation who have converted to solar power, who have added solar panels to their homes, or who are considering doing that. And a couple of folks on the line to talk about that very thing, including Mike from Greensburg at 412-246-2002. Mike, welcome. How are you? Hi, Mike.
You guys are talking about solar panels. It's exciting to hear Pittsburgh being interested. One of the things that I found, we have solar panels on our house, and when I tell it to people, they say, oh, gee, we're in Pittsburgh, and it's so gray all the time. We don't get enough sun. Well, we get 80% of the sun that the usable sun that you get in the Sunshine State, Florida. If they need 8 panels, we just need 10. So that's 2 more, a marginal difference. There's a difference between the heat of the sun that you get when you go out on a sunny day and the usable photons that you use for a photovoltaic cell. And people get them mixed up. And I just wanted to make that clarification because I think more people might get interested in it if they thought, gee, it's raining, as I've seen. My net metering is going backwards. I'm selling it on the meter because I'm onto the grid because I'm producing more energy than I need. And I could listen to any comments on the radio. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that data with us, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. People don't often realize that solar panels actually work better when it's cooler in some ways than when it's really hot. It's not the heat that makes the that makes them work well. And so, yes,
and
he's
Rocky
also right about
said it's the snow, that clouds are not the problem. It's the snow.
Yeah, you don't want the surface to be completely covered. If that happens, then you'll have some efficiency problems.
But a cloudy day evidently is not a big deal.
A cloudy day is not you get no energy. No, it's also, you know, one of the reasons that we get less production in winter versus summer is just the shorter days, the less time for the sun to be up also. Impacts it. But that was also a very good point. I thought about the solar potential, and that's something that we had a lot of fun with in our video, talking about Germany that has three times
right.
our national
what
solar.
What is going on there in Germany?
Well, they have. I mean, as you said, I mean, they're a nation half the size of Texas, and they have.
So what are they doing?
They have three times our national installed solar capacity, and they have the solar potential of approximately Alaska. Everywhere in the lower 48. Gets more sun than Germany, basically. So,
wow, is that something we should be ashamed of?
A little bit, yeah.
Let's go to Elizabeth.
But again, it comes down to policy.
Right, right, and it's just a matter of and it's that struggle between the traditional energy companies and those that would develop solar power. Let's go to Elizabeth in Penn Hills. Elizabeth, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's great to be on the show. I just wanted to tell you that I have solar panels. I'm in Penn Hills, and we had the panels put on because we use a lot of energy in my house, so we wanted to offset some of that cost. Our initial cost was about the same price as an entry-level or base-level car, and we know that within 9 years, we'll get that money back. And our solar panels are guaranteed for 25 years. So anything we make on top of that is pretty much just profit. So it is actually quite a good investment if you're a homeowner and you have a south-facing rooftop. So I also wanted to add that snow cover for us was a little bit of a problem this year. But a lot of people will have panels that are just on the ground, and you can just get a squeegee basically with a long handle and just pull the snow right off of the panels if you do have the land or available space on the ground to put your panels. Another thing in development is a coating that will go on to rooftop panels that would actually melt the snow, and that way you wouldn't have the same kind of issues with snow cover.
So, Elizabeth, sounds like you're happy that you are getting a good return on your investment, and that you think this is something other people should look into.
I really do. I think before my husband and I did the research, we really didn't understand just how affordable it is. We went with a company called EIS, Energy Independent Solutions, and they were just excellent. I know there's a lot of really good companies that are doing this. But they were really professional. They came out, and we looked at the finances, and everything just made sense for us. And we don't live in a big house. We don't have a lot of money, don't make a lot of money, but we were able to do it. And I think when you look at the statistics, it is a lot of middle-class people and lower-middle-class people that are opting for rooftop now. It's not just something that wealthy people are doing. It's quite affordable for a lot of people.
Well, that's interesting, and thank you so much for calling and sharing your story with us, Elizabeth.
Have a great day.
We want to make sure we leave time for Mark Dixon, so we'll take one more phone call before we move on. But John in Lawrence has some concerns. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Go ahead with your comment or question.
My comment is, you were earlier tying together solar power and fossil use and oil prices and gasoline prices. And I don't understand the appropriateness of that, since solar power has nothing to do with gasoline. The other thing is, after decades of being subsidized by the taxpayer, we still cannot get solar power to approach the cost of using fossil fuel. I consider myself an environmentalist, but I hate when I see these kinds of distortions not being spoken about.
Well,
also the fact that the fuel that you're talking about, solar energy and wind power, are intermittent sources. So we can't get rid of power plants if we want to have power when the sun isn't out and when the wind isn't blowing.
All right. Well, John, thank you for expressing your concerns. Your phone line is not the best, so we're going to move on. But very quickly, Joylette, what about what John is saying?
Well, I would say that grid parity for the cost of solar versus fossil fuels has actually already been achieved in 10 states and is expected to be achieved in Pennsylvania as well. And the intermittency really doesn't become a problem when you're until you get to a much larger percentage of our energy coming from solar, especially when you're talking about residential systems where the energy is produced very close to where it's consumed. You really don't have those issues.
And let's bring in Mark Dixon here, Pittsburgh filmmaker. You've documented solar roads. Explain that to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not an official spokesperson for Solar Roadways.
But you've been following the story.
Yep, following it since 2007. And we thought it was just a fascinating idea that caught our imagination. Basically, Solar Roadways is solar panels, is a roadway made of glass with solar panels built into the glass that you can drive on. It's designed to work. You can drive on glass. It's hard enough. It's transparent enough. It's grippy enough. It also will heat the snow to melt the ice and snow off of the road. It collects rainwater. It can do all these other things. You can install it on driveways, on sidewalks, on roadways. It distributes the power. It generates the power. And you can also send any data and signals across the internet as well.
And a common question that comes up is the snow. So what about when it snows and you've got a road with glass solar panels?
Yeah.
That would be slippery, wouldn't it?
Well, they developed traction sufficient. The glass, you can basically make glass almost any way you want, stronger than steel in many cases. And so they've been able to develop traction technology on the glass surface, and it's actually passed some important traction tests that allows for it to hold a tire on the road and not be slippery.
So you would then just plow the snow and then you would continue to... No, you would not plow the snow.
You don't plow the snow. Yeah. You melt the snow off the road. So you don't need plows at all. In fact, the plows would probably damage the glass.
So, all right. So the snow melts off. So then you're generating... You continue to generate energy through these panels. And how much energy do solar roads generate?
Well, The folks at Solar Roadways have an estimate that if you paved every road and pavable surface in America with solar roadways, you could probably generate three times the amount of energy that the United States uses generally. I haven't done independent research on their claim. There are probably all sorts of assumptions that are in there that come to that. But basically, there is a lot of energy available if you happen to use solar panels on all the roadways. And when you combine the infrastructure of solar generation and roadways, suddenly the economics of scale makes sense.
And one final quick question, 5 seconds. Would this be possible in Pittsburgh? Would it be feasible?
Absolutely.
This has been an interesting conversation. Pittsburgh filmmaker Mark Dixon and Joylette Portlock, president of Communitopia and creator of the Don't Just Sit There, Do Something About Climate Change web series. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We are out of time. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh.